Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. If you look back at Ronald Reagan's career, whether you agree with his policies or not, there's one thing that no one can dispute, and that's his staunch, hopeful, and infectious patriotism. I won't say no one believed in the power of America's freedom like Ronald Reagan, but okay, I'll say it. There's no patriot like our former 40th president. I love what journalist and author Nancy Gibb wrote. She said, "Hope is an infectious disease, and Reagan was a carrier. The country he courted and finally won over in 1980 was a dispirited place, humiliated abroad, uncertain at home, with a hunger for heroes, but little faith that they could make any difference. But you can," he told us. "I am not the hero. You are. Let us renew our faith and our hope," he declared in his first inaugural address. "We have every right to dream heroic dreams," and he would serve as dreamer-in-chief. "What I'd really like to do," he said after 6 months in the White House, "is go down in history as the president who made Americans believe in themselves again." And he made them believe again because he so strongly believed that America was the promised land. Let's recall his words from a speech delivered in 1952 at William Woods College commencement ceremonies. I'm going to have to read these because sadly, we don't have audio. He told the graduates that America is less of a place than an idea. "It is an idea," he said, "that resided deep in the souls of men. It is nothing but the inherent love of freedom in each one of us and the great ideological struggle that we find ourselves engaged in today is not a new struggle. It's the same old battle. We met it under the name of Hitlerism. We met it under the name of Kaiserism. And we have met it back through the ages in the name of every conqueror that has ever set upon a course of establishing his rule over mankind. It is simply the idea, the basis of this country and of our religion, the idea of the dignity of man, the idea that deep within the heart of each one of us is something so godlike and precious that no individual or group has a right to impose his or its will upon the people." Wow. Those words were uttered 70 years ago. Luke Cannon, Reagan's main biographer, points out that Reagan held this view throughout his life, but that it never degenerated into a view of American superiority. So in this podcast, we thought we'd honor this treasured part of Ronald Reagan. We'll play the juiciest, loveliest, most patriotic excerpts going back to 1964 when he delivered an address on national television in October in support of Barry Goldwater.
"You and I are told increasingly we have to choose between a left or right. Well, I'd like to suggest there is no such thing as a left or right. There's only an up or down. Man's old age dream, the ultimate in individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism. And regardless of their sincerity, their humanitarian motives, those who would trade our freedom for security have embarked on this downward course."
This concept of up or down instead of left or right is so refreshing to hear in a time when everything has become politicized. What kind of car you drive, if you're wearing a mask, if you're critical of the global economy, even if you eat meat, everything's political. But Reagan had a gift for breaking down things in simpler terms, accessible terms, and he would often go back to the founding fathers. So here are more thoughts on that subject and one of his favorite subjects, government.
"Well, I for one resent it when a representative of the people refers to you and me, the free men and women of this country, as the masses. This is a term we haven't applied to ourselves in America. But beyond that, the full power of centralized government, this was the very thing the founding fathers sought to minimize. They knew that governments don't control things. A government can't control the economy without controlling people. And they know when a government sets out to do that, it must use force and coercion to achieve its purpose. They also knew, those founding fathers, that outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy.
What does it take to be an American? Well, if you asked Ronald Reagan, he'd answer, courage.
If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Alexander Hamilton said, a nation which can prefer disgrace to danger is prepared for a master and deserves one. Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war, but there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay, there is a point beyond which they must not advance. And this is the meaning in the phrase of Barry Goldwater, peace through strength. Winston Churchill said, the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said, there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
More excerpts from Ronald Reagan's belief in American exceptionalism after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story. After the 1960s and 70s, there were real doubts about whether a mortal man could handle the country's highest office. It had destroyed Johnson, corrupted Nixon, and overwhelmed Ford and Carter. Reagan restored the belief that an ordinary American raised in the heartland could lead the country and give it a sense of direction and purpose. But he began his journey in California. Here's an excerpt from his 1971 inaugural address.
Those who whine of a sick society, who carry placards, aren't talking about us. If all 20 million of us... If all 20 million of us decided to live elsewhere, anywhere in the world, we could find 100 people willing to trade places with each one of us. Our young people seek a cause in which they can invest their idealism, their youth, and their strength. Well, we have such a cause, but we must prove to them our own faith and belief, our belief that this, ours, is the most innovative state in the Union, that we have a history of accepting change, indeed of making change happen. For as Mark Twain once said, the easy and slothful didn't come to California, they stayed home. It's time to ignore those who are obsessed with what is wrong and concentrate our attention on what is right, on how great is our potential and our power and how little we have to fear.
By the time he announced his candidacy for the office of president in 1979, He took that optimism to a national level.
To me, our country is a living, breathing presence, unimpressed by what others say is impossible, proud of its own success, generous, yes, and naive, sometimes wrong, never mean, and always impatient to provide a better life for its people in a framework of a basic fairness and freedom. You know, someone once said that the difference between an American and any other kind of person is that an American lives in anticipation of the future because he knows it'll be a great place. Other people fear the future as just a repetition of past failures. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. If there's one thing we're sure of, it is that history need not be relived, that nothing is impossible, and that man is capable of improving his circumstances beyond what we're told is fact.
Somehow, it took America's oldest president at the time to make the country feel young again, its mission not completed, its glory days ahead. Even if it wasn't always morning in America during the years of his presidency, Reagan's eagerness to insist that it was tapped into a longing among voters. They didn't want to picture themselves turning down their thermostats and buttoning up their cardigans. They wanted to strut again. Reagan opened his arms and said, "Walk this way." And when he announced his candidacy, he told us he believed he could do it.
But there remains the greatness of our people, our capacity for dreaming up fantastic deeds and bringing them off to the surprise of an unbelieving world. When Washington's men were freezing at Valley Forge, Tom Paine told his fellow Americans, "We have it in our power to begin the world over again." We still have that power. We, today's living Americans, have in our lifetime fought harder, paid a higher price for freedom, and done more to advance the dignity of man than any people who ever lived on this earth. The citizens of this great nation want leadership, yes, but not a man on a white horse demanding obedience to his commands. They want someone who believes they can begin the world over again. A leader who will unleash their great strength and remove the roadblocks government has put in their way. I want to do that more than anything I've ever wanted. And it's something that I believe, with God's help, I can do.
Once elected, he told us,
"It is time for us to realize that we're too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams. We're not, as some would have us believe, doomed to an inevitable decline. I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing. So with all the creative energy at our command, let us begin an era of national renewal. Let us renew our determination, our courage, and our strength. And let us renew our faith and our hope."
In 1985, in his first State of the Union address since reelected in a landslide, he wasn't arrogant. Resisting the impulse to celebrate himself, he instead celebrated Americans for their accomplishments. This speech was delivered just 5 weeks before Soviet leader Chernenko died, and a new Soviet leader, Gorbachev, took over.
4 years ago, we began to change, forever I hope, our assumptions about government and its place in our lives. Out of that change has come great and robust growth in our confidence, our economy, and our role in the world. Tonight, America is stronger because of the values that we hold dear. We believe faith and freedom must be our guiding stars, for they show us truth, they make us brave, give us hope, and leave us wiser than we were. Our progress began not in Washington, D.C., but in the hearts of our families, communities, workplaces, and voluntary groups, which together are unleashing the invincible spirit of one great nation under God. Proverbs tell us that without a vision, the people perish. When asked what great principle holds our union together, Abraham Lincoln said, "Something in the Declaration giving liberty, not alone to the people of this country, but hope to the world for all future time." We honor the giants of our history not by going back, but forward to the dreams their vision foresaw. My fellow citizens, this nation is poised for greatness. The time has come to proceed toward a great new challenge, a second American revolution of hope and opportunity, a revolution carrying us to new heights of progress by pushing back frontiers of knowledge and space, a revolution of spirit that taps the soul of America, enabling us to summon greater strength than we've ever known, and a revolution that carries beyond our shores the golden promise of human freedom in a world at peace.
For his last official address, his farewell, the American people didn't receive a lecture. They received a verbal embrace.
It's been quite a journey this decade, and we held together through some stormy seas. And at the end, together, we're reaching our destination. The lesson of all this was, of course, that because we're a great nation, our challenges seem complex. It will always be this way. But as long as we remember our first principles and believe in ourselves, the future will always be ours. And something else we learned. Once you begin a great movement, there's no telling where it'll end. We meant to change a nation, and instead, we changed a world. Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people. We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us. We the people are the driver. The government is the car. And we decide where it should go and by what route and how fast. Almost all the world's constitutions are documents in which governments tell the people what their privileges are. Our Constitution is a document in which we the people tell the government what it is allowed to do. We the people are free. This belief has been the underlying basis for everything I've tried to do these past 8 years. Finally, there is a great tradition of warnings in presidential farewells, and I've got one that's been on my mind for some time. But oddly enough, it starts with one of the things I'm proudest of in the past 8 years, the resurgence of national pride that I called the new patriotism. This national feeling is good, but it won't count for much. And it won't last unless it's grounded in thoughtfulness and knowledge. An informed patriotism is what we want. And are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? And how stands the city on this winter night? More prosperous, more secure, and happier than it was 8 years ago. But more than that, after 200 years, two centuries, she still stands strong and true on the granite ridge, and her glow is held steady no matter what storm. And she's still a beacon, still a magnet for all who must have freedom, for all the pilgrims from all the lost places who are hurtling through the darkness toward home. We've done our part, and as I walk off into the city streets, a final word to the men and women of the Reagan Revolution, the men and women across America who for 8 years did the work that brought America back. My friends, we did it. We weren't just marking time. We made a difference. We made the city stronger. We made the city freer. And we left her in good hands. All in all, not bad. Not bad at all.
Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.